Welcome to the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast with your hosts, Nick Sykes and Jimbo Donahue.
It's hump day, everyone, and we got a very special episode for you today.
Welcome back to another episode of the Fourth and Goal Fantasy Podcast, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm your host, Nick Sykes, joined always by James Donahue, and today we have a very special guest with us. It's going to be our first edition for the season of the Average Fantasy Joe's interview. And today, we have a legend coming from the league I commissioned, the league known as the Fantasy Bubble Bowl. He is a one-time reigning champion, a show favorite. He is the team manager of Sob's Bubble Boys. Please welcome Nathan Saber Powers.
Hello, yay. Hello, fantasy. A little bit of a fluke, given it is my rookie season in fantasy football.
Hey, oh, there's no fluke champions in fantasy football, especially in leagues that we're in, Sob.
That's fair. Russell Wilson did carry me very hard. We'll see how well he'll do this season, considering how well he cooked this weekend.
Right, it was a few years ago. But, ladies and gentlemen, before we get started here, I want to give you the quick outline of what today's show is going to look like. We're going to be asking Saab just a few questions about his fantasy perspective, how his season's going and whatnot. And then we're going to get into our starts of the week. So please stay tuned for that. So without further ado, Saab, let's hear it. Coming into this season, you know, there's no preseason. There's not a lot of reporting going on. Who are the guys you were kind of buying into coming into the draft?
Well, I got to say, there's a lot of wide receivers that, you know, you just wanted to get your hands on. And I can't help myself but watch, like, having done so many mock drafts, seeing players that I was really high on. People like Kenyon Drake, let's see here, Terry McLaurin, Cortland Sutton, DJ Chark, you know, these people that I really wanted to, you know, be able to draft and didn't get the chance to, and then seeing them either do well or do poorly and seeing that play out, it's been really cool, like, looking and seeing all the alert updates, seeing how well they're doing or how well they're not doing, and kind of, like, feeling that as if I were the fantasy manager of those players, even though I'm not for my particular team.
Saab, you weren't excited about Corey Davis?
Corey Davis? No, I can't say I know anyone who's excited about Corey Davis.
What about our show favorite, Lame Haskins?
Well, I gotta say, you know, if Terry McLaurin can make Haskins a star quarterback, I think it's possible with his talent.
Right, and a lot of questions out of week one right away. I agree with you. I was high on those players as well, but a lot of those guys kind of go in the fifth and sixth round, so it's definitely hard to get your hands on them. Mm-hmm. So kind of backtracking a bit here, but what's something you learned such took away from, like, your from last year, even like your few years playing fantasy, that you're kind of implementing into this season or looking for change?
It's definitely, you got to stay on top of it, but, like, don't burn yourself out in the first couple weeks. You know, get yourself into a good rhythm, like, target the stuff that you want to listen to, like, and the stuff that you want to do to stay up to date on fantasy football and just the football news over the week. And then just kind of ride that flow throughout the entire season. I found myself, like, towards probably week 8, week 10, and beyond, just feeling like, oh man, I've been doing fantasy for so long. I've got so much other stuff going on now, you know. And that was really when I dropped the ball, wasn't paying attention to waivers nearly as much. And, you know, at that point, I was probably, like, in the top three contention for our league. Couple guys just snuck right up the board while I wasn't paying attention, and I ended up getting fourth there.
Yeah, I mean, something that you really need to pay attention to, and I think it's very important in fantasy football, is to not be complacent with your roster. Always trying to look for trades, looking for people to pick up. And when you do find yourself being complacent, like you win the first couple of weeks and think you're fine, I think that's when a lot of people kind of see their team start to, like, regress.
Right. You do not win your league at the draft, people. You cannot stay stagnant.
Yeah, you can't win at the draft. You can certainly lose it.
Yeah, and that's to win the waiver wire.
Ah, yes. Exactly. You have to play the waiver wire. Mm-hmm.
I think this question kind of leads me in a good segue. This is kind of more of a general question. So as I kind of mentioned before, Saab is part of the League I Commission, a league in which there's a high buy-in. There's a lot of fun prizes. There's weekly challenges with prize gifts for the regular season. So as kind of, I say, in the most respectful way, I say you're kind of like a little above average, like fantasy, like you're an average fantasy Joe, I'd say, right, Saab? Is that kind of accurate?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Slightly above average, honestly, in my opinion. But my question to you is what do you want from a league to kind of keep you involved and like keep all the members involved? What do you find kind of makes a successful league, so to speak?
I would definitely say it's the engagement among all the players and how the league is focused around increasing that engagement. So in our league, you know, we obviously have the weekly challenges. But not only that, but Nick here goes above and beyond and posts weekly updates and makes it exciting to see the summary of how the week is done, you know. And that makes it a lot more fun to smack talk your teammates because you know that's going to be going into the weekly update. And on top of that, you know, you've also got lots of just trash talking in general. Like I was talking with one of our league mates earlier, talking about Nick Chubb, and he's a huge Browns fan. Huge Browns fan. You know, he drafted Nick Chubb, Odell Beckham Jr., and Jarvis Landry, you know, maybe a little bit higher than they probably should have gone. And you know,
he clearly doesn't listen to the podcast because he doesn't listen to all of our red flags we were giving him last year.
Right, and let's just say he was not happy with how the Browns performed this weekend. So, you know, it's fun being able to talk about that kind of stuff. You know, in my matchup, he did the rookie mistake of leaving his Thursday night player in his flex.
Yes, classic.
Right, when he had Courtland Sutton injured and his wide receiver too, ended up having to play Justin Jefferson this week. Still blew me out though, unfortunately.
Yeah. Well, Justin Jefferson at least didn't hurt you.
Right.
All right, Saab. Well, I'm going to cut right to the chase, get to the meat here. So you had Michael Thomas and Lev Bell have pretty significant injuries this week. What is, you listened to our show yesterday. You listened to our transactions episode. So how the heck are you going to bounce back from Michael Thomas and Lev Bell injury?
The people need to know.
I mean, do you drop Michael Thomas?
Huh, Saab?
You going to drop Michael Thomas?
I can't hold on to him. I can't play him, you know. That injury is going to be lingering. But no, of course, I'm not dropping Michael Thomas.
You're scaring me. You're scaring me. You're going to drop him. I was like, oh, my God, no.
No. You can't drop Michael Thomas. The guy is still the number one receiver for the Saints. The high-powered offense, sure, that injury is really scary. We've seen high ankle sprains before. We saw it on Saquon last year. Like, he came back too early, and he suffered. His performance suffered for it. They're saying they're going to play Michael Thomas through the next couple of weeks. You know, I expect his performance to suffer from it. I don't think I can play him for the next couple of weeks until I see his performance improve. So I am looking at the waiver wire to see what I can do to fill up my wide receiver and running back options. And not to mention, I also have Kenny Golladay. I also have Jordan Howard as my...
You have Kenny G too?
Yep.
So you have Michael You're Thomas fine. And Kenny Golladay out.
Yes. So, God. The waiver wire, I'm hoping, will be my friend this week.
Yeah, you're going to drop some big fab.
I am. You know, running back situation, that's the one I have to fill the most. I'm targeting Nyheim Hines. You know, Nyheim Hines and Malcolm Brown as far as starts for tomorrow, for this weekend, you know, I rate them about the same. But Nyheim Hines has potential throughout the entire season until Mac gets back. Malcolm Brown, we're just waiting to see how he's going to perform and whether he's even going to be able to keep the role from Cam Akers or if he is just going to be taken over in the next couple of weeks. And if that happens, you know, that's a long-term investment that I dropped a lot of fab on that doesn't pay off for a long term.
Yeah. And also, it just sounds like you kind of need like an answer now to replace Lev Bell since you're a little bit thin at running back. I do agree. I think Nyheim Hines is the more solid option season long. But me and Jimbo tonight watched every snap. We have an NFL game pass, and we rewatched every snap of Malcolm Brown and Cam Akers. And as of now, Malcolm Brown looks like the superior back for sure. Mm-hmm. He's just bigger. This has like a couple more seasons under his belt. So I just think Cam Akers will get there eventually. Not sure what time late this season that's going to be. But yeah, it's interesting to see like you're hiring Nyheim Hines. So who are you replacing Michael Thomas and Kenny Galladay with?
Well, luckily I have some depth at wide receiver. I have AJ Brown, I have AJ Green, and I have Marvin Jones.
Ah, yes.
Yes. Those three players, I feel, you know, look, Marvin Jones did not do too hot this last week. Neither did AJ Brown nor AJ Green. But they were active in the offenses on their respective teams. I am confident in at least having the upside there for those players that I don't feel like I need to plug and play from the waiver wire to my week two roster.
Gotcha. So you're not, so you're probably not going for like a Robbie Anderson, Russell Gage, like those type of players. You're probably going to keep hands off and focus your kind of fab on running backs.
Exactly. And, you know, there are enough high upside wide receivers on the waiver wire right now that I can drop, you know, zero fab on some of these players, just rank them how I want to see them, and just pick up one or two of them to my roster if I feel that I need the depth there.
Gotcha. Very nice. Well, the last thing I kind of want to talk to you about, so we throw this word fab out a lot. So for those of the listeners who don't know what fab is, FAB is a way you do waivers. It stands for free auction agent bidding. Oh, God. What is it again? I think that's
I honestly
it.
Don't know.
Free. I'm trying to figure that out as well.
I think it's, I it's free. No, no. It's free agent auction bidding. That's it. So basically what it is, every team gets like, say, in our league, it's $100. You have that $100 for the entire season to spend on the waiver wire. And every day there's an auction at the end of the day where you can put a certain amount of money down on a player. And if you outbid everyone else, then you get the player. So you can see where this gets kind of gets unraveled. And Saab, I want to ask you, as a first time, you and Jimbo are both time first-time FAB users, what is the biggest difficulty you guys have found so far in using FAB?
Go first,
Jimbo.
Yeah. Oh, I'll go first. Great. Okay. Well, so far, I think the hardest thing when it comes to FAB is I have to read my audience. I don't really know. I think the biggest thing when dealing with FAB is, does this person, do other people in my league know how to use FAB properly? And if you know your audience, because I think Nick and I can argue that in one of my leagues that Nick is also a part of, I have no idea if everyone in our league is fully aware of the FAB situation, which only scares me because I feel like one of my fears is someone thinking that they can spend, let's just say, like a large amount of FAB during 1 week, and then maybe they think that they get that money back the next week. It's definitely not a week-by-week situation. It's, as Nick explained, you get like $100 throughout the year. So the scary thing is trying to see if people can recognize that, because then that if people are draft or putting down super high bids for super valuable players, then that only raises the bids for you. But I think something that I might be learning is that let people get those huge, huge bids out of the way. Let them spend their FAB because it is only week one. You do have to rope it back in. You have to put some context into the situation. If people want to spend that large amount of FAB, then I'm going to go ahead and let them do that.
Yeah, and especially in week one where I feel like everyone is severely overreacting to a lot of these performances, you're going to have a lot of people throwing fat bids out there for people like Nyheim Hines, Malcolm Brown. Say someone throws out 60 to 70% of their fab on Malcolm Brown. Then you look later the season, say someone like, I don't know, like say Dalvin Cook goes down, Alexander Mattison's out there. That's during midseason, that's a game-winning running back is Alexander Mattison. You want to throw at least 60, 70% of your fab down when that situation arises, because every season it does. There's always a league winner that's going to be on the waiver wire midseason. And if you throw all your fab out early, you're going to have nothing later, and you're not going to be able to be make your roster competitive.
Yeah, and just like Jimbo was saying, you know, when you don't know how your teammates, your league mates, are going to be auctioning for the waiver wire, it makes it very difficult to put out proper fab, you know, bids. I'm like finding that in my situations where, you know, I'm looking up, you know, fab, you know, strategies. You know, you've got your guns blazing, go heavy on week one because you know there's going to be some good players out there right away, and you want to get a full season's worth of that those players. Or you can, you know, save it and hold on to those league winners in the middle of the draft, like Nick was saying. But I'm stuck. You know, I have to go for those guns blazing strategies. I don't have time to wait and see how the rest of my league is going to be putting down bids. So when I hear certain players, so for example, you know, I'm doing my research, I'm hearing about 25 to 35% of your fab budget on Nyheim Hines is what some people are saying. Well, how do I translate that to my league, knowing that I have an enhanced need at that role and this player can fill that role well? But, you know, as my teammates, you know, I know that many of them are also weak at the running back position. How high are they going to go, especially if they're not doing the research or if they don't know how to value these players either?
For sure. And, I mean, we had in our fantasy chat, we had someone say they're going to spend 50% of their fab on Dallas Goedert.
Wow.
I mean, it's just, I don't know, like, it's just going to be crazy. I feel like I just have to let people bid high this week one and then just kind of coast and pretty much take advantage of that later in the season. But I definitely hear what you guys are saying. But it's going to be interesting after this first waiver period to see where everyone's kind of landing.
Right, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
All right, boys, good talk, good interview, good answer, Saab. We're now going to move on to our starts of the week. Saab, feel free to comment on all these players. Jimbo, kick us off with your quarterback start of the week.
Great. Thanks, Nick. So I'm going to open it up with old man Rivers, Philip Rivers versus the Minnesota Vikings. And here's my reasoning. He threw the ball 46 times last week, and he accumulated 363 passing yards. And not to mention, Minnesota could not stop Aaron Rodgers through the air. I think their defensive backs are definitely inferior to opposing offensive weapons. And I think with the establishment of the running back core in the Indianapolis Colts offense now, Philip Rivers will be able to dish the ball out to either of his running backs, Jonathan Taylor or Nyheim Hines, on top of the already passing threats that he has in Paris Campbell and T.Y. Hilton. I think this is kind of a loaded offense here heading into this game. It definitely is on the bolder side of takes, I will admit that, but I'm willing to throw Philip Rivers out as one of the top performers this week, not this year.
Gotcha, yeah. Old man Phil. I mean, I don't touch Philip Rivers because I've been crushed by him too many times.
Very true. That's also the risk you're rolling with.
You know, I'm pivoting from my pick. Decided a few minutes ago. I was going to go Jimmy G at the New York Jets. Because the New York Jets are trash. But I'm audibling to someone who's more guaranteed, I believe. A quarterback I actually really believe in. I'm going Big Ben versus Denver.
Ah, yes. Someone we spoke about on yesterday's episode.
Yeah. I mean, if you watch the Monday night game, Big Ben, it looks like that offense is back. He's just put a lot of juice in. I like what I'm seeing from Deontay Johnson. I like what I'm seeing from Juju. I like what I'm seeing from Claypool. I don't care who's at running back, Benny Snell, Tony Brooks, Jimbo from last year.
Oh, my God.
Practice squad guy. I think no matter who's at running back, they're going to produce. If we look at how Ryan Tannehill did against Denver, I mean, he threw for 43 times. And that's very uncharacteristic of Tannehill. I expect Big Ben to have a really big day against Denver. They're going to be at home. Yeah, I think it's pretty much a shoe-in pick. If you, I think you can, anyone could roll out Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe if you're a Carson Wentz owner, you're looking for a pivot. Yeah, I think it's a solid pick.
Nice. I agree.
All right, wide receivers, Jimbo, go.
All right, my pick is Mr. Jamison Crowder serving up a hot cup of chowder and the best place to get clam chowder, and that's San Francisco. And the reason why I'm choosing him is because he saw 13 targets last week, and if anything goes right through the air for this offense, it'll be through Crowder. And not to mention, I'm also extremely excited to see how Crowder performs against the underwhelming Richard Sherman, in my opinion, because DeAndre Hopkins had quite the historical game through the air. He had 14 receptions for over 150 yards receiving. I think Crowder will do a lot of damage, and he's not only the number one target in this offense, but he's definitely the primary target in this offense. So I definitely feel safe rolling him out.
Yeah, I don't think Brashad Perryman's going to really take Crowder's slot role or anything.
Nope, I'm not worried about that either.
All right, my pick is going to be Robbie Anderson at Tennessee. Robbie Anderson emerging as one of the top passing options. A significant target share for this Carolina Panthers offense. I mentioned last show how Teddy Bridgewater's throwing the most deep passes, at least for week one. Robbie Anderson, 8 targets, 6 receptions, 115 yards and a touchdown. Saab, I'm turning it to you. If you had to pick one, Robbie Anderson, Jamison Crowder, who are you going with?
Robbie Anderson, I got to say. I mean,
Saab, yeah. What the hell?
Sam, well, okay. Sam Darnold is a wild card.
We're not talking about who has the better quarterback, Saab.
That's all right. Significant for receivers, Jimbo.
All right. Well, Jamison Crowder gets the target share every game, and he gets the production every game.
All I'm saying is, look, I had Robert Anderson as a fantasy manager last season, and him under Sam Darnold, that was, you know, it was tougher to watch. It was,
yeah, because all the targets went to Crowder, Saab.
I mean, look, you're not wrong, but you're looking at a Niners defense.
But you're not right.
We're looking at a Niners defense that
my pick is not Saab approved.
It is not Saab approved.
And what did I do wrong? I have to go back to the drawing board.
Look, I don't trust it. I don't trust it. I think Robbie Anderson under Cam – or, sorry, not Cam Newton. This is on Panthers, but
– Teddy.
Yeah, right under Teddy Bridgewater. He's going to do – he's going to do better. He's going to be up against a better matchup, I think, and he's going to be able to perform a little bit better than – and see a little bit more of the Anderson that we wanted to see last season in these matchups coming up.
I 100% agree. And I think having DJ Moore on that offense really helps Robbie Anderson open it up, because I think teams are going to respect DJ Moore as kind of the primary receiver. And the wide receiver two role is always very coveted. You think of like combos like AB and Juju taking that number two role and really shining. And I think it's really going to help Robbie Anderson not being the number one receiver. I just love this pick.
All right, fine. It's a good pick. Is that what you guys wanted me to say? Is that what you needed to hear?
I want you to say it's better than Jamison Crowder.
No, I'm not going to. Moving on to the running backs, Nick.
All right. Go ahead with your pick.
All right. My pick was probably the easiest pick at the position. It's not going to be a surprise. It is Mr. Derrick Henry. When you run the ball 30 times for over 100 yards, when you're going up against one of the worst run defenses in all of football, and that's the Carolina Panthers, I expect Derrick Henry to eat in a huge way, and I definitely expect him to collect touchdowns this game.
Well, that was an easy pick. I could tell anyone to start Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, well, you know, I need to start picking players that Saab's going to approve of.
All right. Well, my pick is a little more controversial after last week. It's Nick Chubb versus the Bengals this week, Thursday Night Football. As we know, Nick Chubb saw a really an insanely low rush share 42%. His lowest game last year for rush share was 62%. That is like the number of percent of rushes or team rushes he was receiving. He had 42% last week, and he had abysmal numbers. Kareem Hunt seeing a significant amount of work, people panicking. I just want to give people the confidence to behind Nick Chubb. You're starting him, obviously, but I want you to be excited for this Thursday. The Browns are 6-point favorites playing the Bengals. They're at home. It's their, I guess, home opener with no fans, but I want you to be very confident Nick Chubb this week and be excited.
Nice. Great pick.
I like both of these picks.
Any comments, Saab?
I like both these picks. I think the Panthers are not going to be able to stop Derrick Henry. And I think that the Bengals are not going to be able to stop your running back there, Nick. It's going to be a rough one. I'm looking forward to seeing it.
Both super.
All right, enough of this nice talk, Saab. Who's going to do better week
Let's
two?
Get down Derrick to Henry or Nick Chubb? I can take it, Saab. Just tell me.
Who's going to do better, Saab?
Right now.
Look, you're asking me who's going to do better between Derrick Henry or Nick Chubb. It's going to be Derrick Henry.
Wow, okay. There it is.
There it is, folks. It's Saab approved. So don't touch Derrick Henry, even though you were going to touch him anyways.
You're going to get an earful.
Anything can happen in fantasy. You saw that.
Oh, no. There's no safety cards here.
Yeah, no.
Talk to me about last week if you want to say who's going to do better, Michael Thomas or Jameson Crowder.
Oh, Jameson Crowder.
Saab.
I can tell you who I would have picked in that matchup.
All right, let's move on to tight ends here. My pick, it's another controversial pick, but I'm endorsing him. I'm putting my chips in, folks. It's Tyler Higbee. Versus Philadelphia. Listen, Philadelphia has a stout running defense. Malcolm Brown owners are going to be scared to play him this week against Philly. But Higbee, let me tell you what the Philadelphia did against the Washington football team. Logan Thomas saw 8 targets, 4 receptions for 37 yards and a score. I think they, Philly typically has a pretty poor secondary. Obviously, they're going to be poor at guarding the tight end. News came out yesterday talking, Sean McVay talking about this back injury for Everett. I think he's obviously a little banged up, more so than they want to reveal. I think this is going to be a big bounce back game for Higbee. I want to give all Higbee owners the confidence they need for week two, because you drafted him at, you need to capitalize on this draft capital. You need to believe in him. And this is the week to believe in him against Philadelphia.
I couldn't agree with you more, Nick, because we all saw what happened when Gerald Everett was struggling with injury and Higbee became the primary tight end. He was top 3, top 4 tight end in the NFL when he was playing as that. So I absolutely love this pick.
Thank you. Who's your guy, Jimbo?
All right. My pick could be a little controversial as well, depending on how you view this player. It is going to be the tight end for the Atlanta Falcons, Hayden Hurst versus the Dallas Cowboys. And the reason why is because last season, Dallas was the second worst defense against the tight end position. Opposing tight ends averaged 66.2 receiving yards a game, and the defense gave up the most receptions at that position. Not to mention, Hayden Hurst had the most routes run out of any tight end in week one last week. I think you can definitely start him with confidence. I think he's a fine start. I think he gets reestablished through the air in this pass-heavy offense.
I like that pick, Jim, but I do have a question for you.
Oh, God.
Jared Cook or Hayden Hurst?
Jared Cook's going up against who's he going up against?
He's going up against
the Raiders.
Yep, Raiders. But with Michael Thomas potentially out, there's a lot of vacated targets there.
I agree, Saab. I agree. It'll be interesting to see if those targets go to Alvin Kamara,
Emmanuel Sanders, Traquan Smith.
I think I might just have to trust my gut and say that I'm going with Hayden Hurst.
I have Hayden Hurst down as a pretty big breakout candidate this year. He's someone I really wanted in every draft, and a lot of people knew that, and a lot of people I was in drafts with drafted him before me. Fantastic.
But great question, Saab. Way to keep me on my toes.
You're welcome.
All right, Saab. This is the more important question. Higby or Hayden Hurst?
Oh, man. Higby or Hayden Hurst?
Don't you dare lie to me.
I do think it's a tough one. I was a little disappointed in Hayden Hurst's performance this week. I was looking into them, trying to help some other fantasy managers on Reddit make their decisions.
Whoa, sob.
Sob? Hayden, you're no fantasy Joe. You're not a fantasy Joe. You're a fantasy expert.
I'm doing my research, homework. Thank you.
Wow. A scholar. No. A fantasy football scholar. I had no idea.
Well, let's say the Falcons didn't look great until the last half there this weekend. And, you know, Hayden Hurst, I think he has a lot more opportunity this week as well. Higby, honestly, I can't say I've done nearly as much research. But with Jared Goff looking as he has before last season, frankly, not doing as hot as I would like them to do either, I think I got to go for the Hurst side.
Wow. Wow. I thought you were definitely going to go with Higby on this one.
Not this time, Jimbo. Got to keep you on your toes.
Wow. All right.
Wait.
Sorry. Who's your QB pick? Philip Rivers or Big Ben?
That's easy.
I think it's also easy. It's not even my pick.
Oh, man. Now I'm concerned. I'm going to say
Philip Rivers versus the Vikings. Oh, thank God, Sob. That's the right decision.
I was panicking there for a second. I was like, oh, no.
Your fantasy integrity as an expert was on the line. But yeah, I do have to add one last thing to Hayden Hurst. Today I did watch every single one of his, targets and receptions. He is an incredible athlete. Like, I'm very excited for both of these guys. I give the sliders to Higby this week. I really, really like his matchup, but I expect both these guys to be top 10 tight ends this week.
Yeah, I think they're kind of in the same situation too, where their receiving core is pretty elite. The Falcons receiving core and the Rams receiving core. So it'll be interesting to see what the production turns out to be in their offenses.
Correct. All right, let's end the show with a quick breakdown for Thursday Night Football. It's going to be a quick one, folks. It's going to be the Cincinnati Bengals at the Cleveland Browns. Saab, I'm going to ask you, what are your thoughts? Do you think Baker Mayfield bounces back this week? And with Baker bouncing back, do you think OBJ bounces back with him?
Let's see here. I'm going to take a look at some of my research real quick.
Ah, yes. The fantasy scholar.
Let you know right now, OBJ saw 10 targets and 3 receptions last week. A few drop passes, but also a couple terrible thrown balls. In my opinion, personally, I do think Baker and OBJ bounce back this week. You got to believe in these guys. If they're going to get it done, it's against the frickin' Bengals.
I do have to agree with that. I mean, OBJ was up against the Ravens corners. Like, that was going to be a tough matchup regardless of whether Baker Mayfield is performing or not.
Yeah, going against Marcus Peters is not a fun time. Going against the number one defense in football, this is pretty much the stark contrast of one of the worst defenses in football. So I'm endorsing all Browns picks. Hell, even throw Kareem Hunt out there. He's a fine flex play this week. I am buying all Browns this week.
I think this should be a good game, especially with the Browns and Bengals defenses both being pretty rough. I think we could see a higher scoring game than expected.
All right. I think this is the most important question of all. Guys, Joe Mixon sucked last week. Can we believe in Joe Mixon this week?
I think you can. You have to roll him out just simply because of the draft capital and the opportunity. There's literally no one behind him besides Giovanni Bernard, and he's not someone that scares me at all. I think it's going to take some time for Joe Burrow to figure out how to run this offense successfully. But with that being said, if anything gets done with this offense, it is through Joe Mixon. And something I'm also excited to see is if Tyler Boyd can get the target share that we all wanted him to when we drafted him heading into this year's fantasy football year.
All right. One question for both of you. Does Joe Mixon finish this week as a running back one? Top 10.
Top 10?
top 10 running back. Is he a top 10 running back this week? Silence.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say he's a top 12, top 15 running back.
Top 12 is usually considered RB1. Okay, so lower echelon of running back one. Do you agree, Saab? Think he bounces back from his poor performance last week? He saw 19 attempts, 19 carries, 2 targets last week.
I will also take the under on this one. I think that's a good line if we want to say RB1 or RB2 because he's right there. He's up against a good matchup. Actually, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm taking the over. I think Joe Mixon is going to be RB1 this week.
Thank God, Sub. Someone getting bold here. Let's go. I'm going over as well. I'm very excited. I know Cleveland has a great defensive line, but I think it's going to be a big bounce-back game for Mixon after a lot of owners are low on him. God, I hope no one listening to this is going to sit Mixon. All right, Sob, last question of the show here. You have AJ Green on your bench. Are you throwing him out there against Cleveland?
I have to.
AJ Green, sorry.
Yeah, AJ Green, I kind of have to given my situation, but I'm also excited for his upside, and I'm looking forward to see how well he's going to be utilized in the backfield.
Awesome. I agree. All right, that's going to wrap it up for us here today. Thank you so much, Sob, for joining us, giving us a little insight on your fantasy experience and things that you've taken away from. Once again, folks, this is the 4th and Goal Fantasy Podcast. You can find us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts soon. Thanks again for listening, everyone. We're going to be back tomorrow with our running back rankings and breakdown. See you next time, folks.